The Rebbe is finishing the longest parak in Achshas Avreichem. At the end here, we were learning last week that something that's called Hanos Hanitzochen, that any person who ever had a moment of his gabrus, of not giving in to a machshav, and not giving, thank you, not giving in to a taiva, to a yetzahara, whoever had his gabrus to be able to be in control of a machshava, of a dibur, of a maisa, feels a hanoah, a tremendous, indescribable hanoah, pleasure of nitzachon, a victory, of being victorious. Masati gibarim yad chaloshim rab miyat matam tam yad taharim shom yad tzadikim. Yizeidim biad oiske serasecha. A person has such nitzachon, he feels within himself that it's a little bit of a chanukah, of a nes, when such a thing happens, because he knows within himself that there's so many more machshavas of tuma, and there are so few machshavas of kedusha that we have over the years, and yet sometimes we're able to have his garbus, but the rabban is biad ma'atim, where the many thoughts of impurity are somehow defeated by the little thoughts of kedusha. And so it is with the inyan of Chanukah, that a person is able to experience from time to time and to feel that simcha and that hanor of the nitzachon, of being strong, of being victorious. But the Rebbe is explaining it's not only a hanos hanitzachon, but with a person that indescribable feeling that a person has when there's a hisgabrus of kedusha is not only what the entire world experiences when somebody's competing and somebody is victorious, somebody wins. That's a very, very, very powerful expression of the self. But more than that, when it comes to a yid, it's a hisgalus of one's nefesh. It's a moment where a person reveals the essence of what a Jew is, when he reveals the inner nekuda of who he is, that, and he's able to come into contact with that. But that pach shem, that little part of himself, which is munach b'chayisim shakan gadol, which is sealed to the entire world, which hasn't been defiled, and he's able to feel that his galus and nefesh, that his iris of the lakus inside of him, and that's something that no guy could ever understand, and no guy could ever experience. Only a yid lahavdulu has a chelik alakamimal inside of him, knows the feeling of his galus and nefesh. On the bottom of page Kuf Chav Ches, the Agav Oydor Hanochus Tochah Hervachte B'Dvayin Oyla. There's something else that's important that you'll benefit from what we're learning. Higam Nistam Zerem Machshavis Loishol Taivis V'Akshel Rishus Ashoitvis B'Chor B'Tchiloso Mobal B'Lois Oyscho. He says that by learning to be a person who's in control of his machshavas, not only will you be able to prevent the taivas, the destructive taivas, from infiltrating into your thoughts, into your mind, but there's bechlal there's a zerem of machshavas, there's a current, there's a stream of thoughts that are not taivas, that are not aser, but taivas shel rishus, things that one is allowed to think about generally, to think about family, to think about business, to think about other things that are part of a person's day, a person's life, and this stream or this current of machshavas, of thoughts, they are known to be especially powerful during the time of davening. During the time of davening, all the machshavas of what to do during the day and things that have to be taken care of and other inyanim that are mababalas aischa, that bring a confusion that confuse the person. Mababalas aischa, if you're trying to apply all that we've been learning. So the Rebbe says that tuchal b'mitateyazeh, you'll be able to, with this broom that we've been learning, to sweep away l'tata mimcha u'mimcha l'harchik, you'll be able to sweep away from your mind, like with a broom, these machshavas of reshus, not just the taivas, but machshavas tam that come into your head all the time. Kshata oimed b'tfila va'afroz halolu, when you're standing, especially by davening, and these wild means that they're uncontrolled machshavas. They just seem to take over your mind. And you don't know how to stop these machshavas. Again, we're not talking, Rebbe says, I'm not talking about tithes. We were dealing with that until now. But machshavas of Rishul Stam, things that are not osir, but they take away from you your davening. The Rebbe says, we find in all the Svarim, that if you try very, very hard to get rid of those thoughts, not to think those thoughts, misupkani intuchalahen, I am very doubtful if you'll be able to do that. And you will see sometimes that dafka, when you're trying to get rid of those thoughts, when you're trying to push out the zerem, that stream or that current of thought out from your mind, then you'll see that dafka, they become stronger. Dafka, those machshavas get stronger. Lachain, therefore the Rebbe says the following. Hafsek al ezes man mitfiloscha. If you're able to stop for a moment davening, v'hargiyas atzmacha, to quiet yourself, to calm down. Imushoy atala shavas v'perikas ebetfila, if it's a time of davening where you're allowed to sit down, shave, take it easy, sit down. V'im lav, and if it's time where you don't sit down, hishoyin al ezadova, then relax in a way that you're leaning on something. Uvimnuchas leiv, with a tranquil heart, in a quiet way. You see in the bottom here, right, the Rebbe added, v'davke b'nuchas leiv, in such a way. V'loy b'sragzus, v'loy b'samsus, you say that you, like you see in some swarm, not with a anger, or not with a too strong of an effort. Ki kral amam l'chal el shabinyani hamashavi yeshlofim shakash mesames b'hadam davka li'igil hadam. The Rebbe says that we see that in general, that when it comes to machshavas, when a person forces something or tries too hard, then it has the opposite effect. It doesn't work. Machshavas, a person can control machshavas. The Rebbe says all over that machshavas are only under a person's control when there's with Yishuv Hadas and Menuchas Aleiv, not with the Hisamsus and with the, but quietly. So he says in Lav Yishon Al Ezedov Menuchas Aleiv is Takel Al Machshav Esecha. Apply what we're learning, and take a look at these Machshavas. Vizboinin im Machshavtecha Al Pachazus Apros Eila, and take a look at the recklessness of these thoughts that you're having. Eich machshava achas mischaberes b'chaverta. Just take a look and see how you're thinking one second about something with this person in the office. Then the next second you're thinking about that you got to take this kid to the doctor. The next second you're thinking about how you didn't pay, you know, for this. No, there's no say this. It's just how eich machshava. Take a look again. The Rebbe says apply this method of Oidais Hamachshava, looking at your machshava, and if you look at this for a second, but in a very relaxed way, and just review, like play back for a second, what you've had in your mind for the last 5 minutes, all the different things, then it looks to you like you're a crazy person. You'll see yourself like a meshugana. make a career, because that's how, if you would talk that way, they would lock you up. If you would just say, like, that stuff that's going on, and the way that you're thinking it, from one Indian, shaloi ba'isah Indian, and jumping around, and the different things, and how you think about it, and what you say, and if you would write it down, if that would be transcribed on a piece of paper, and if this would be given as presented in front of a group of people, that everybody would be sitting in the room and looking at you like that you're talking like a crazy person. People don't talk like that. No, each of those inyana might be interesting or important, but the way that the machshavas are going one to the other and without any connection and without any conclusion, and usually in a way that's not rational or that's just with anxiety and so on. So if you look at the machshavas from the side, eich machshava achas mischaberes bechaverta zukei fetzes al zu, how it's in your head, there's such a tumult, and one thought is jumping on the other thought and is not connected to the earlier one, and so on. And not only that, upisai machshava shemlefnei kama shanim mihar alova yalecha. Not only that, there's a machshava that you haven't thought about in years, and that during davening you have that machshava, like you remember somebody that you haven't thought of in years, or something that you never took care of, or whatever. That's a machshava from like a different time in your life, It's totally unrelated. It's completely unrelated to anything that's nageya to you at that time. But it's just mamash. He says keproim b'halulusam kechayis b'pachazusam. You will see that your mind is being taken over by prime, like a para other means, like by wild ones, b'halulusam, in their abandonment, and kechayis b'pachazusam, like a bunch of wild animals are running around in your brain. There's no seder, there's nothing that's rational about any of these things. And you know, there are machshavas that the only time that you have those machshavas are by davening. Otherwise you would never even think of such a thing. It's not worthy of a machshava. You don't think about it at all. The Rebbe says that you look at it in such a way, again, you relax and you sit down if you're able to just lean over and to stop, just stop, and to look at these machshavas that you're having. So tespala elayim tzoy hazeh, mitchila tekena, you'll be amazed with this. Mitchila tekena, in the beginning you'll see that the entire, your entire bilbil, the whole thing that's going on, that whole movie inside your head, or little tidbits or snippets of pictures and things will get dim. And every second will get weaker and weaker. Until you actually feel like you're taking a broom and sweeping out a bunch of narishkeit that's in your brain. Just sweeping it out and getting rid of it. And in our way of moving forward, I want to point out something regarding this strange natia, this inclination that we find in a person, that sometimes he'll be mispoil, he'll get all worked up, from a small or ridiculous thing. Believe the also, without even realizing it. It says, sometimes you'll see that after you had an enjoyable meal, something you ate, something that you enjoyed, who imachshavtei acherim, you'll see, it's an interesting thing. That after, let's say you were thinking something before, and you were working on something before, the Rebbe says then you have a good thing to eat that you enjoy, and then he says you'll notice that afterwards, then you're not able to continue with the thoughts that you had before you were eating. Something changes as a result of that indulging in a meal or in some food that you enjoyed. That what happens is, he says, You no longer want or are thinking about that which you wanted or thinking about before you had that meal. And after you eat, there could be all kinds of small things. And not just small, but bezuyim, like things that are not pleasant or things that are not good, are all of a sudden in your mind, which are mashpim al adam l'shanayse kulay, which have ashpon a person to change him from what he was thinking about and what he was holding before he ate. Ad shenimsel l'famim kulay nosim biyadav Hashem atzmahu, till you realize that after you finished eating, you're completely given over to some. Kulay nosen biyad davar shemetz ma'u, something that's not good, that's not holy, that's not pure. Azim yichapes v'yimses adavar shemashpil of yistaka b'harbe po'al b'harbe po'al b'zalach lisha. So then if you stop again, and instead of just going with those thoughts, because he's saying, the Rebbe's saying is that the fact that a person stops in the middle of thinking and he indulges something which is permitted. Obviously, he's eating something he's allowed to eat. It's good to eat. He has to eat. But the fact that a person doesn't just eat to survive, but he has also a hanah gashmis, that he's enjoying that act of eating, so that indulging in gashmis can set off in a person's mind things that are completely inconsistent with what he was thinking about before. So then if you stop and you try to think about how did these thoughts come about, where did they come from, why are you thinking this now, and to look at these thoughts as a spectator from the outside, then you'll be able to weaken it. Because machshavas says ketanos, small machshavas and bezuyas, disgusting machshavas, can be awakened by indulging in an act of gashmius, by eating something that you enjoy. That can bring out all kinds of small silly machshavas. And again, the Rebbe says that if you take a look at these machshavas and realize how they happened, where they came from, you'll be able to weaken them. He says that it often happens that after a person eats, then arpa miskasha, he becomes a ksheirif. In other words, there's a certain stiffness, and I don't know to call it an arrogance or a stiffness or libo misabein, and the heart becomes hardened by indulging in the gashmias, and musa la yishma, and the person is not open to hearing musa. Kol ruchay misnase, is this Hisnasas haruach, there's a certain feeling of non-spirituality, and hisnasas haruach, a certain type of an arrogance that the Rebbe says will often follow, will also come about after a person has been eating. And we're totally, this is something that we don't pay attention to, we don't notice. That's because we're not sensitive to these changes that take place inside of us, and we don't pay attention to them. And one of the most harmless things we do in life is have something to eat. But a person of the Rebbe's stature, but he's describing something that's a very edel in the kud, and a person that changes when any time that a person indulges in this world, that there's a certain degree of insensitivity, a hardening of the spiritual arteries and of the heart of a Jew, that takes place as a result of losing himself a little bit in this world. But that's a very edel nakuda. I mean, the Rebbe is not even talking about going out to restaurants and sitting around at a table after them bringing you out to all this stuff and sitting around there and you know, with a toothpick and talking about life, you know, for the next hour, while a new line of freshers gathers at the door. The Rebbe's not talking about this. He's talking about like a regular thing that you just ate, you know. Not talking about restauranting, but whole way of life that we've seen and we've experienced, where eating becomes a form of entertainment and a form of art, some type of an art, or it's not just to survive, it's much more than surviving. The Rebbe says that a person enjoys his food, but you know, the Rebbe could never have imagined what that means. But what he's saying is that at any time that a person stops and loses himself a little bit in something of this world, it has an effect on a person. And you therefore afterwards, without realizing where it came from, you'll think about all kinds of Nairishkeit. You'll think about all kinds of, that's the effect that the act of eating has on you. You think of all kinds of Nairishkeit. It's not an achil of kedusha. A person is eating with all the kavanas of the eating, that the kavanas that we should have, but the way that a person regularly eats, so the Rebbe says that could have that influence on you without knowing why. You begin to have all kinds of machshavas that are inconsistent with what you were learning before or the way you were holding before. So the Rebbe says this is something which is normal. Again, we don't pay attention to these things. And not only that, he says, he doesn't realize that the act of eating itself is what caused this. You'll see sometimes that you just sad. You're sad, you miss atzev. You have a certain feeling of sadness. Or even a feeling of anger. Al kol davar, you're getting upset about everything. Al kol davar, every little thing is upsetting you. You're just very sensitive and getting upset. V'liyei d'lama, and you don't know why. If someone asks you, what are you upset about? What happened? So you might try to come up with something because you don't know any other way to explain your mood. So you might say, well, I'm upset because of something that happened, you know, yesterday or whatever. But that's not really what's causing that anxiety or that anger or a little bit of sadness. So where does it come from? Because there's really nothing wrong with your life at that time. There's nothing that should be causing you to get upset. Unless you think about something to try to, you know, to explain. But stop. Why are you upset? Why are you upset? Why are you in a bad mood? And he really doesn't know why. He tries to come up with explanations, but he really doesn't know why. So, you know, you read stuff, you looked a little bit, so you might say, well, maybe I'm upset now because of something that my mother said to me, you know, at the time that I was born. She said, oh my, isn't he ugly? And this is something like, you know, that now I think it's finally kicking in, and I'm very anxious about this, and it upsets me. No, person comes up with all kinds of terusim of why he's upset. You have people that they're married, and one's asking the other, like, for 50 years, what are you so upset about? Like, what's wrong? You're angry, you're upset. So he comes up with, you can always come up with something, because everybody has, like, in their files, all kinds of annoying things. So someone says, what are you seem to be a little bit down. Is there something that's upsetting you? So a person could immediately access something. Blah, 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 blah. I'm upset about, you know, the way that you've been acting towards me. What did I do? Last Purim, you remember that, you know, a person could always find something to say or to explain. But the emes is la'yei d'lami. He doesn't really know what is it. Rumeiza dover gufani. Could be so. It's from something. It's not something of any depth. It's meisa davar gufani. It's from something of this world. Im devar kesef, something has to do with money. A covet. That there was a shortage of covet, something that's upsetting you, that you felt that you were mistreated, or you, whatever. An inyan of covet. That in life these things happen all the time, and you end up with money and problems with money, problems that you felt that someone wasn't nice to you, didn't act to you a certain way, didn't give you enough cover, whatever. And dvar hatakala nishkach menem, you don't even remember what actually happened. and you don't have you're not even thinking about what happened. But it had a certain effect upon you. Even though you might not be thinking about any particular event, but the Rebbe is saying especially after you eat and you indulge in some physical thing in this world, it will sort of bring out certain feelings, certain negative feelings, those feelings of sadness, of feelings of frustration, anxiety, and anger that are related to things that you no longer are actually that are related to things that you experience, but you're not really conscious of what those things are right now. But the act of eating or indulging in something of gashmius has a way of bringing out these negative feelings that are related to things of this world that you're not even remembering right now, but it's enough to get you sad or to get you angry. You'll find sometimes that a daiga, that some worry of shtus, some silly daiga, can make you sad and get you upset for an entire day. A silly daiga can get you upset for an entire day. So the Rebbe says, Oza Eitza, what do you do about such things? These things that you just overcome by moods. Or you have some narishkeit that's upsetting you and that you're worrying about an entire day. Oza Eitza, she asks, Lechapis Bekirbei. So the Rebbe says again, you become like a scientist. You become your own therapist. And the Eitza is that what you begin to analyze, Shiaschal Chapis Bekiva, Me'eza Shah, Hischila Kashias Arpazu. When did this begin? When did I begin to have this mood? When did I start feeling this way? When did I start to have this feeling? This Atzvus, this either Kashias Arif, in other words, a certain kind of insensitivity or an arrogance, or an Atzvus, or a sadness, or Reigis, or an anger and anxiety. Min shazu, uma avrala v'shazu. Acha, you'll realize, he says very often, that when did that start? It says when you ate, from when you ate. I mean, I know there are a lot of studies that have been made regarding the influence of certain foods on a person. I don't know at that time what was known, but certainly there are different types of foods that can have different influences on a person because of whether it's sweet or something else that different have hashpah on a person. So the Rebbe says that if you stand on the side and you take a look at and you analyze when did this begin and how did this start. And he says, often you'll realize that it's began from that time of when you were eating.
Allah
so he says, yeah, or could happen is that when you're analyzing this, when did I begin to feel? You just have this feeling of sadness or anxiety, of anger, whatever it is, and you try to trace this back to where it came from. We usually don't do that. We just go with a certain feeling and we act a certain way. But he says if you work on it and you look at it as from the side in a cold way, you'll see that it goes back either to a time that you ate, or you realize that, so that's when you, meaning when you indulged in something of this world, which you enjoyed, or the opposite kind of a thing, that you'll remember that it began where there was something that you wanted in this world and you didn't get. You wanted to have something to eat and you couldn't have it. Or you wanted to have something with money, or you wanted to have something with COVID, and there was a disappointment, which you might not have even... You know, mind if you know, Islam, you don't remember that there's, and you wouldn't have paid attention to it. But if you think about it now, from what point, when did you begin to feel this way? When did you start feeling this anxiousness or this anger or this sadness, whatever? You'll either trace it back, the Rebbe says, to two things. One is from when you were indulging and enjoying this world, or when there was something of this world that you felt was deprived, that you didn't have, that it was taken from you, or that you couldn't have. One or the other. It's the sugya of Olam Hazeh that's causing this. Either you had this world, and that has a way of offsetting the balance of ruchnis inside of you, of a healthy simcha and ruchnis inside of you, or there was something that you wanted in this world and you couldn't have. It's something that didn't work out, or something dvar rotzen gufani loy nismalei lei, that you wanted something and you realize that this is why you're feeling upset. You're feeling where these feelings come from. You could trace it back to something that you wanted. And somebody, you wanted from somebody, and they didn't do what you wanted, and so on. And you could discover what it is. And when you look at this now, when you look at this natiya, this inclination, this which affected you, that it has the ability to pervert, to make crooked all of your machshavas. You could have the thing beinu ubeinu. You could have between a husband and a wife that a husband had a certain taiva, and he felt, you know, that so the wife he felt that he was rejected by his wife. So the wife whatever that she was Isaac and her other things. She was tired. So I'm not going to go into pratim. He's too chash of a person to acknowledge it, to admit what is it that's upsetting him so much, but he'll find that he could be annoyed, and that afterward, you know, later on or the next day or something, that what a wife says or what a child says, that the person finds that he's annoyed and that he's anxious and that Stam, he's in a bad mood. And he doesn't think of it as having anything to do with the feeling of being rebuffed or what he would describe as being, you know, rejected for the 10,000th time in his life. He wouldn't think about that. But if he traces it back from when did I begin to have this feeling? When did I begin to feel this negativity? From what moment? From a taiva that he had or from a taiva that he couldn't have? I mean, I don't know if it's a taiva that he indulged in or from the time that there was a taiva that he wanted to indulge in and it was kept from him. When a person looks at how this can have such an effect on all of his feelings and all of his machshavas, that he can go around the whole day and even longer, that people can go around for a long time, for years even, with feelings that they can't explain, negative, destructive feelings that they don't even themselves know why or how. Where do these come from? Are people are going to try to get help from professionals to try to find out what? Why is this? I mean, you can imagine someone that's a professional telling you that it's because you're enjoying this world too much, that's why you're feeling this way. That's not the usual thing that a person would hear. But well, if a person, the Rebbe says, if a person stops and thinks about this, techlash v'timas. I mean, I don't know anything about psychology or about therapy, but a lot of the therapy, it seems from just talking to people and what I hear, what people describe, that go through these things, that a lot of it has with the person just getting out of the system. In other words, the qualified counselor or therapist, whatever, will know how to ask certain questions and to engage the patient in a certain kind of a discussion that will bring out certain facts, certain things into the metzias that he lost track of, where certain things come from, where certain things started. And And even, okay, and if the therapist has some good recommendations and good advice, that's for sure. That's terrific. That's gewaldig. But even if he doesn't, and it's just a question of listening and guiding the person to be able to now, in a moment of sanity, to be able to trace back and to talk about and to think about and to express certain things and to come to terms with where it began and where it came from, that itself has a tremendous calming effect and a therapeutic effect upon a person that they've been able to sort out something that's become woven into them and it's causing deep pain or deep anxiety and frustration without being able to explain and to know, why am I this way? Why do I feel this way? Why am I always walking around this way? And even though it could be that the professional didn't come up with a whole pshat in who he is as a human being and didn't come up with all kinds of aitzes, but the fact that the person guided the patient to be able to trace back where certain anxieties started, or where fears came from. So there's already a feeling of lightness and a certain feeling of joy, of simcha that a person has when he's able to come to that realization. Like I have, you know, people that go to Mekubalim. They go to Mekubalim. Which there's a lot of problems with that whole Indian. I'm not talking about if the Baba Sali were alive. I'm talking to either quacks or amateurs. And even some that the few in the world that are qualified, those who are really, really Mekubalim, they don't say things like that other people are saying. But somebody goes to Mekubal, so I have a person says to me, like, he went to Mekubal, and what did Mekubal tell you? So Mekubal told him that he thought this, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that in his life, and the guy's going out of his kalim that the Mekubal was right. Mekubal was right. And like he has a whole, you know, big yeshua that the Mekubal, so it's like, so now the Mekubal knows, the Baruch Shalom knew, you know. Now you have one other person that knows all of your Mishagasim. So why do you feel better about that? Why do you feel that, like, something? It's not just feeling impressed. It's one thing to be impressed. You know, you go to somebody. He looks at your mezuzah. He looks at your hand, or he looks at your forehead, and he closes his eyes, and he takes out some pita maktayos or something, and sprinkles some holy water on you, and he rolls his eyes, and he says something that's mostly very, very general, that all of us get, like, have all kinds of mishagasim, and, you know, and the person goes, yes, that's it, that's it, that's it, right? Okay, so what's so gewaldig about that? Eureka. What is it? So what? Because there are all kinds of things that we just don't stop and think about. And all that happened is that so-called Mekubal, again, there are some very, very, very big tzaddikim who have tremendous kaiches, but they don't use them the way that the ones who are not big tzaddikim use them. And there are some people that are not big tzaddikim that for whatever reason have certain kaiches also, which is questionable where those kaiches come from. But what is it that's so exciting about this discovery? I mean, you didn't know it? I mean, what are you so excited about? That the Mekubal told you that you did, you know, this or you thought that. It's okay. So Shkoyach, so he knows. What's the chiluk? So this guy knows. But by it being put on the table, and by being dragged out of the murky, you know, waters of your subconsciousness, things that you tucked away and that you hid away. But by it just being brought out, there's a certain feeling of excitement. And it's not just a matter of being impressed that how come the Mekubal knew this? Wow, that's such a neat thing. I wish I could do that. It's not just that. There's the relief that a person feels. It's a feeling of relief that even though someone says, I'm afraid to go to the Mekubal because he's going to know what I'm thinking, you know, all this stuff. But then afterwards, a person goes to Mekubal, whatever, and the Mekubal says something, and he has... these people tell this to me all the time. And it's not that I haven't myself, you know, experienced this. I mean, I haven't gone in many years, but years ago, there was a Mekubal that came to the States when he came the first time. There was a whole tumult when he came. This is a nice already from 25 years ago. There was a big tumult when he came. He's got a very, very elegy, a very fine person. But I don't go near it at all anymore. But when he came, so a lot of people were going, and he came to our neighborhood, and not here, this is in Queens, and so I also went. So he told me unbelievable things. Absolutely unbelievable things. He was telling me different things, and he even told me like exactly what I was learning in Yerodea the night before that I was having a problem with. And he said that now you'll be able to go home and you'll be able to look at that shach and it'll be okay. And he told me where in the shach I was learning the night before. When I left there, I was shaking, and I went to my wife and I said, "This is, this person just in 15 minutes was telling me such things." And there was nothing new than what he told me. There was nothing. It wasn't anything that I didn't know about myself. Anything that I didn't know. That was part of my upbringing and of my life and so on. So what's the Hisairus? So is it a matter of being impressed that how does a human being know such things and how does he come to that? He looked at the mezuzah and he's able to see what does that mean? The person has a Hisairus when he's able to take something from his life and that it's put into a picture, into a frame, and it's able to be separated from that stream, that current of life, and it's sort of stopped, and it's circled, and a person is told that this is something which was an important thing in your life, but you didn't really pay attention to it. It's just part of life. You never circled it. You never highlighted it. It was just part of life. But in the situation where a mekubal or a therapist isolated that and highlighted and said that and brought it out from you, and he said something, you say yes, that's true. So that has a very, very great therapeutic effect upon a person. Because you didn't think about it. It was there, but you didn't think about it. And when you do, when it is isolated, and when it is highlighted, and the person can study it, so then he could have a yeshua. And I'm not suggesting that we go to Mekubalim. I strongly recommend, whoever asks me, I recommend very strongly against that, not to go to any Mekubalim. It's not, certainly not Bashkenazim, we don't have a mahalach like that to go to these things. But and there's a lot of stories that people have from this India. But he says, but you see that what will happen is that you'll be able to overcome something. Even though you don't have like an eitzev how to deal with this thing. But you're able to look at it now and say, wow, such a narishkeit, such a small thing, had such a hashpah in my life. It made such a roshim. And you're embarrassed because you might be embarrassed to yourself thinking about it because this is a narishkeit and that should get me so worked up. It could be inyanin of a taiva. The Rebbe is not talking about some deep, dark, mysterious secret in a person's life. It could even be a narishkeit. So he's saying even a taiva that he had, a taiva that he wanted to have and he couldn't have, and he's annoyed, he's upset. But he looks as a shtus. Somebody said something to you at work. And you didn't think about it at the time. I mean, it annoyed you, and you just, but then, like, you know, but for the next 2 days, you're in a lousy mood. And not even be a bad mood, but you're not happy, and you have certain... other things get you annoyed. You find that you're short with the wife, you're short with your kids, you're annoyed.
And the wife and kids don't know what they did. What they didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing. I don't like the way that you're holding your fork. It's like, all right, I'll try something different. The kid, you know. But what are you? You're not in a good mood. So they're saying that you could trace it back to something. It could be a pagia in your covet, something that you had at work or in school in yeshiva. It could be that you're learning something. You're in yeshiva and you have a whole pshat, and you're screaming and yelling. You're pshat for a half hour, and then Yechavusa says, like, I think you know that word you read it wrong. You know, and like the whole thing is, he said, he's screaming and yelling, make a whole tumult, and he's saying, that's the pshat. And then Yechavusa says, no, how could that be the pshat? He made a whole thing like, you know, Rabbi Yehuda Lishitosai, and it was the wrong Rabbi Yehuda, like something like that. You know, was it? So then he said, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Unless you're like one of those guys that keeps on like fighting to the bitter end. You know, they'll just keep on going. And until they're like, I have to take some you know, Rebbe or something. He says, no. Then you have to deal with that. But then, you know, you don't think about it. But you know, you're annoyed, you're upset or something. It was a piggy in your covet somehow. That's already in learning. People don't usually get so insulted or hurt, but with other things in life, a person can get. What the Rebbe's saying is that when there's something of this world that you wanted and it meant something to you and you didn't get it, then you don't realize that the effect it has upon you. Or what he's saying is even a bigger chiddush. The other thing is that there's something of this world that you wanted and you had and you enjoyed in gashmius, in kavod or in eating or something, and it has hashpa on a person. Has ashpa on one's moods and so on. But when you start to think about it, in other words, when you're able to circle it and trace yourself back to that, to say shtus an Irishkeit, kaze alai kol kach yishpiu beze kulot is batal, then you could sweep it out of your head. Then it's gone. You can get rid of it. Finished. Once you come to it and you circle it and you say, this, that's it. Then it can move out of the whole thing. The Simon Zayilai. He says, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to give you a Simon. Simon Zayilai. The simon zayiloyim be'emes yipaga ba'asiba asher sibchaloy is kashis ayrif. How do you know if you really uncovered the cause? How do you know if that's it? Could be it's something else. How do you know that that's it? In be'emes yipaga ba'asiba asher sibchaloy is kashis ayrif. How do you know if you really have found that thing which set off the anxiety or anger or nervous or those negative feelings? How do you know? In the MS Yipoga Basiba Shesibhlais Kashis Ayur Falahepachis Atsu Saharagis, the arrogance or the anger or the sadness, how do you know that's it? Osmamish Bahabota Rishani Stakal Batecholish. He says this is the Siman. He says, "Oz mamish ba'abotay rishonish yistak about techolish." He says, the first glance that you take at it, the first look that you have at that highlighted moment, techolish, it'll immediately become weak. In other words, the feelings of the feeling that you have of anger or depression or of anxiety, or of whatever it is, kashis arif, will immediately become weaker. You'll feel better. Notice you try to think maybe it was this, maybe it was that, and then you don't feel any better. But when you come to the thing that it was, you feel better. You feel right away that there was something that was running on your heart and it's gotten lighter, something that's lighter inside of you. He says, this is something that's a chayk, it's a law of the soul, like, which I'm not going to explain right now. But if you don't right away, just by thinking about this, feel a little bit better, but instead you're groping like a blind person and thinking, maybe this is what got me upset, maybe this is why I'm nervous, maybe this is why I'm sad, and you have a pilpul, could it be, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But it's not clear, you can't decide. That's not it. When you really touch upon what it was, then the second you get to it, you already start to feel a little bit better. When it's not the real inyan, then you still have to pull them. I'm not sure, maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know if this is where it was, could be. It's a law of the soul that when you get to that nekuda where it all began, that you immediately feel some relief. You feel something, and you know inside of you that it's it. But if you still dreading and you still trying to figure it out, maybe it is, maybe it's not, then that's not it. There are a lot of things in life that, you know, you're upset about many things, and you have israqshus about many things, and they have all kinds of low things in your machshavas and your dibur and maisim that affect you and so on, that cause you all kinds of tsar, all kinds of grief and anguish and so on. Well, neishu israqshus b'loy levush lachein liyedamahi, but these are all israqshus, and these are all feelings that don't have a levush. Meaning that you don't really know where it all began. But they're used inside of you for reasons to explain why is it that you're sad, and why is it that you are going away from different things, aziva, from people that you love, that you're distancing yourself, or from Yiddishkeit that you're distancing yourself, and kas and anger and so on. There are many, many things that a person is suffering from, that he has inside of him, all kinds of his sarakshis that the Rebbe was talking about earlier in Perek Dal, that come from all kinds of machshavas dibur ma'isim that we shouldn't have done. It's true, all kinds of things inside. But a person is, when a person is able to trace something back to where it began, so the Rebbe says a simon that he automatically feels that some type of an ischalta de gula, a little bit of a yeshua. You know, the Svarm all talk about why is it l'shona acheres asom mekovim mehalu v'hayda, why is it that they waited for the following year, l'shona acheres, to establish the yontif of Chanukah? How can it be that there was His iris that took place as a result of the Nes of Chanukah, and to make the Yotah of Chanukah should have been right after the Yotah of Chanukah. So the Mepharshim explained that it wouldn't have been Derech Eretz. There were a lot of Jews that were killed, and how do you make a Yontiv when there are families that are grieving and sitting Shiva? Then you're going to come up with the Yontiv of Chanukah when people are sitting Shiva. So there are. The Mepharshim that say that just it's a matter of sensitivity, of waiting and giving a year. After a year of Avelus, people lost their fathers, lost their mothers, lost their children in the Milcham and the wars. So it wouldn't have been right, these Mepharshim say, to start dealing with a Yontiv and making a Yontiv at that time. Lashon Acheres is the following year, another year. But the, that's a pshat by the mefarshim. But the in pnimiyus haTorah, but the tzaddikim, the bnei Sascha, the tzvasemis, and tzaddikim, all the other tzaddikim talk about, is that they were waiting to see. They were waiting to see how they would feel a year later. What would be with this a year later? Sometimes b'shas ma'aseh there's a hisrakshus, there's a hispilus, that you get excited about something at the time, but it's something which could just be a reaction, and it's something which isn't really truly a part of the metzias of who you are and what of klai yisrael is. But l'shana acheres, therefore, to wait and to see whether or not there would be whether or not all the kaiches and of Chanukah of the early of the year before, whether there would be his iris of those kaiches and of those hargeshim that that Klai Yisrael experienced b'shas ma'aseh when it happened, and l'shana acheres kovum asolim kovum, that there was a kviyas that was made l'shana acheres. And when we see that this is kesed in a person's life, that when there's yishuv hadas and the chachamim gave this a year, and to look back over the year and to understand where did this hisayrus come from? In this case, we're talking about hisayrus of kedusha. Where did it begin? And to be able to trace it back to that moment of that discovery of the pach. Of the Pach Shem that's munach b'chais moshe kohen gadol, of the oil and the nes of the menorah and the nitzachon and so on. There are many times in Jewish history, there are many yeshuas that we had in Tanakh and other times, but we don't find that there was a kriyas yontiv, that there was no yontiv that was established. Chanukah is a chiddush that there was a kriyas yontiv like that, l'shana acheres. That it wasn't just something that once happened, but it was a recurring happening. It was something that became part of Klai Yisrael's consciousness. It became part of who we were as a people. And Chanukah there became a yontif that was understood that this was the metzias of Klai Yisrael. It wasn't something that just happened and it left us, but it's something that happened and it stays with us. And it's misoyer in a very strong way every year when it comes to the day of Chanukah. It has a hisiris, but it's always simmering beneath the surface. So in Kedusha, that's the inyan of Chanukah, when a person realizes that so much of what we have now in our lives, and to be grateful for and to be happy about, it's a hisiris of Chanukah. And every year when it comes to Chaf Hei Kislev, we're able to look at that and to realize that where do we have, from where do we take our simcha? From where do we take our ability to continue on to be Yidden, even though there's so much hestapanim? Because many, many years ago, when it was a time of choshech, choshech, mechushech, mechupel, it was unbelievable darkness. The Baruch Shalom reminded us that he's still with us. And because of that, we're able to trace back these feelings of emunah and his iris and his rakshas to be avdei Hashem, to that reminder that Klai Yisrael had, which is the last nes that we experienced as a people in that way. And from there we're able to get Cyrus even now. Because if this is true when it comes to something of sadness or anxiety, that something in Gashmis can have a hashpah that you don't even realize, then how much more so when it comes to a midat tov, to something good, the hashpah that Chanukah has upon each and every Jew. That no matter what he goes through, there still is this feeling inside of him not to give up that comes because of Chanukah. And when it comes to Chanukah, that's Mesoyer in a big way. And it's like, then it's highlighted and it's circled that the reason that you're still a Yid and the reason that you have any joy in life is because you know that Hashem is with you the way that he was with the Chashmonaim. And you know that he could help you and save you the way that he did to the Chashmonaim. And not to give up. Even though then they had every reason to give up, they didn't give up, so we also know that. And that a person could have a gewaltig hisayrus of simcha when he thinks about it, which is what Chanukah is all about. Okay, Mitzvah Shem Shalom, Shalom, Mechtik, Nyan.